Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We are going to jump in today. If you have a Bible, if you want to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to be reading about a story that's pretty famous. You've probably heard some kind of version of it before. It's pretty culturally famous, the story of David and Goliath. As you're turning there, just a little bit about me. You will notice over the time of our time together that I sound like I am from the South, and I am not. So don't ask me about that. I've been asked what my immigration story is, and I don't have one. I'm born here. I do like chicken and waffles, so if we can bond over that, awesome. But I just when the Holy Spirit shows up, I go Southern. I don't know why it is, but so 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 31, so it says, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine,'" meaning Goliath. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me then from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me again now from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to him, 'Fine, David, go, and may the Lord be with you.' And then Saul clothed David with his armor, put on his helmet of bronze on his head, and has clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried to go in vain, for he had not tested them, or he was not used to them. And then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' And so David put them off. Then he took in his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." Then jumping down to verse 45, it says this, "And then David said to the Philistine, 'Goliath, you come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you now in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel.'" Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We know you're going to speak into our hearts, into our life. We pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would use any ways you want the gifts you've given me to steward for the glory of your name and the good of this church. I pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done in this moment. Nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray that anything in me that's not of you right now will be just taken out of my mind. That today we will receive only from your heart what you have planned. Would you pray this in your name, in the name of Jesus? Amen. You got any forgetful people in the room? Any forgetful people? Can you identify yourself that? Come on. Don't be ashamed. Let's just be, I'm one of you. I'm part of your team, right? Like, no matter what, if you are a human being, you have probably experienced the pain of forgetfulness a time or two, right? Maybe you've forgotten a special date with, you know, that person you've been trying to get with for a long time, right? That would suck, and you probably won't get another one. Or you're like, or maybe you forgot a test or something. Or maybe you're married like I am, and you're one of those spouses that have just forgotten one too many times to take the garbage out. Can we be real? Can we have an, I've done that so many times. If I told you how many times, you would not let me preach because I'd be a bad husband. I'm just putting it out there, right? Or this one time, I don't know if I should say this to you guys as a very Toronto crowd, but just go with me. Just don't get turned off just because of this. But there was a time that I forgot that my friend was a vegetarian. Anyone have this moment, right? Like, there's so many dietary things right now, and I care about my kids, so I know theirs. Not that I don't care about my friend, but you know what I mean? It's a different kind of relationship. And so we made this potluck happen for our lead team, and we were there, and I made this lentil dish, and it was an amazing dish, by the way. It was next level. But I made it with some chicken stock, and I meant to tell him, "Hey, man, you can't eat this thing." But about halfway through the meal, I look over at Sam, and not this Sam. He's not vegetarian. He eats meat. I've seen him make a steak go away in like 3 seconds. But this Sam, where I was, and I see him just eating away at my dish, and I had this sort of moral conundrum, right? Because, like, do I stop the whole meal and say, "Bro, like, you are eating a dish made with the soup of a sacrificed chicken," or just sort of let him die not knowing he broke his moral compass, right? Like, I didn't know exactly what to do, but I ended up telling him because he's such a gracious man. He forgave me. It was all good. The point being is this. Sometimes forgetfulness in life can cause some issues. Let's be real, right? But you know, when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to the life of faith and pursuing the call of God, forgetfulness is not just a problem. It is poison. It's poison to hope. It's poison to our faith. It can be poison to everything that we need to move forward. And in fact, one of the most spiritual things that you can do is develop a long memory. One of the most spiritual disciplines that you can put into your life is getting a good journal and a sharp pencil and begin recording all the ways God has already come through so you can be empowered for the current moment. See, when it comes to this story, right, what we have is there's two armies and they are sort of lining up against one another and nothing is actually happening. There's a lot of frenetic energy, you know, the armor's being put on, the battle lines are being drawn, they're going up, you're hearing the sound of marching, but there's no action, there's no movement. It's kind of like, you know, a grade 9 date, you know what I'm saying, where there's a lot of frenetic emotional energy, but you can't say anything to them because you're just frozen. That's what this is going on right now. Some of you know that more than others, but, you know, here's the thing, right, that is until Goliath steps out. The Philistines send this beast of a man, about 9 feet tall, right, a close combat UFC kind of fighter, and he comes out to them to challenge them, and he's the kind of guy that, like, I can be real, right? I would lose, right? I can be humble enough about that. Like my daughter, she's 4. She believes I could take on anybody, you know, but she also believes she's going to grow up to be a mermaid. So I can't really, you know, trust her opinion of me right now. But here's the thing, right? Like he would rip anyone. So he says, hey guys, let's keep this bloodshed to a minimum. You send your best guy, you fight me, whoever wins, they win. We get to go home. And for 40 days, he puts this challenge out to this army and insults them and accuses them. And there's not one guy in the whole battle-hardened heroes of Israel that was willing to step out and actually begin to fight. That is until some young shepherd boy showed up with some cheese and bread. Because that's why he was there, to bring some food for his brothers. And he hears that Goliath is saying these things and accusing God's people and giving this challenge out. And he's like, guys, what's the deal with him? And they actually tell him, well, you know, he's Goliath. He's huge. He's going to destroy us. And so we are here. And they even go so far to tell him all about the reward, that King Saul has put out a reward that whoever could win would essentially be royalty for life. You would get to marry a princess. It'd be a great day. You'd be set up for the rest of your life. But what they don't tell him is, but we're all too afraid to do it. And know what his response to them was? Who does this guy think he is? Right? Because here's what we learn. Here's what we learn, right? About fear and faith. Like we've heard sometimes that you know, fear is the opposite of faith. Wrong. Fear is misdirected faith. Fear, right, is faith misplaced. Because this army had more faith in the strength of a giant than the promise of the God to fight for them. They put more faith in a circumstance, in a trial, in the accusation, the lie of the enemy, than the truth of the Creator God has already spoken good things for them. They had lost perspective a little bit. And when you lose the perspective, you also lose the power and the perseverance to move forward. And so it's interesting because what David does when he first shows up, he goes, this is some uncircumcised Philistine. Now, I know that like we don't go around talking about other men's conditions, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not like what we do a lot. But this is actually quite powerful because what David is doing is he's trying to put into perspective the giant. Why? Because what he's saying is simply this, guys, I know you see a giant. I get that. He's big, he's terrible, whatever. But you know what? He's uncircumcised, which means this. On this side of the battle, we have the covenant. On this side, they don't. On this side, we got the promise of the God of the universe to fight for us. I don't care how big a giant is. He ain't nothing compared to the promise of my God. And so we can fight. And see, what David does is properly identify the problem. And when you forget to call what is actually what it is, you lose power to fight it well. Wow. Now, here's the problem, Christians. When it comes to our battles against sin, we like to get cute and give ourselves the excuse not to fight it by calling it what it's not. See, some of you in the room today, you're like, no, you know, I just have a quick wick. Just a personality thing. No, bro. You know what you have? An anger problem. Right? You have an idolatry issue. You worship yourself so much that if someone does not do what you want in your time by your way, you unleash the wrath of your God upon them. Wow. Oh, it's just a porn problem. It's just every man's struggle. No, it's not, bro. No, it's not. You are degrading the feminine glory God gave that woman to nothing more than a fantasy of your desire. Wow. You take the Imago Dei and make it nothing. That's not cute. Oh, it's just some marital turbulence. You know, everyone goes through it. Or It's selfishness and some bitterness and some unforgiveness that maybe Jesus needs to deal with in your heart. Oh, I'm just a little insecure at times. Or you worship every voice more than the one who made you. And you'd rather listen to Instagram than to Jesus. And so you suffer all the time. Maybe if we can get better at identifying what's before us, we can actually fight it. But then we come back to the story. The question for me is, well, how did David, the shepherd boy, walk into a battle and have so much faith just to fight? Right? And what we learn is what we read today, that he's already fought some lions and bears. And I don't care how big the human being is. He could be as intimidating as Josh Ray, right? A bear's going to win. Right, like, have you seen the Revenant, man? Like, he's going to rip you to shreds. That's what a bear does. But David's like, well, God already brought me through that fight. He made me get through a lion. So what is a giant compared to a bear? See, what he begins to do is he fuels present faith by his ability to remember God's past faithfulness. Because he can walk in that right now, he has enough power to move in this moment. And let's not for a second think that it was easy to fight a bear. Let's not be cute here today, right? You don't fight a bear, as he says, as close to me in his beard. Like my son, he gets this close. He grabs my beard because he thinks it's cute. Hurts like crap, but I love him, so whatever, right? That's how close you are, right? You don't walk away from that without scars on your body. Without some wounds. But here's the thing. As David begins to look at the healed wounds of past wars, he's reminded of how much victory he can now walk in. And so if just because the bear's no longer for him and it's a giant, guess who hasn't changed? God. Yeah. Right. Come on, here's the thing. Sometimes, and this is going to hurt, but sometimes God lets you get wounded. So you will have a permanent reminder of how to depend on him. I know we don't like pain in culture, but like, Jacob had to walk with a limp every single day. Maybe God's allowed you to be wounded to the point of your dependence on him so that you will never try to depend on yourself again.
Wow, that's so good.
I'm just saying, there might be some redemption in the pain. Oh, not to mention the fact, you got hurt that way too? Well, this scar's from the same story, and God brought me through that one, so maybe he can encourage you too. Oh, you've seen that scar on me? I have the same one. God brought me through that. Hey, maybe if you've been through that marriage problem, here's how God did in my life. Hey, maybe you've been through that depression. Guess what Jesus did? Hey, maybe you saw this battle. Well, guess what God did there? See, sometimes the scars you bear aren't even for you. So why are we covering them up? Because maybe my scars give you some encouragement. And so David, he walks into this place, right, with all this knowledge that God has brought me through. And listen to me, some of you in today, you are fighting battles right now that you have lost perspective in. And God wants to call you back today just to get your remembrance up. Go back in your journal. Go open those notes. Go see the story. God, I remember you came through there, and you came through there, and you came. I remember now, Jesus. Forgive me of not walking in that kind of faith. Or maybe you want to be here today and be all like cynical and attitude with Mike, right? You know what, Mike? Fine. But you know what? God ain't done nothing good for me lately. Liar. Are you a Christian? If God never did one more good thing in my life, you know what he did do? Go to hell and back to save me. And I can rest on that every single day. Listen to me, Christian. If the tomb is empty, my hope is always full. My joy is always full. If death has been robbed, then fear is in hell and shame is in hell and guilt is in hell. And I got hope for tomorrow. That's good preaching. Thank you, Sam. This is our hope. And if you're going to be here today saying, Mike, well, I can't even, listen to me, open this book and read it. Like, we always have a long memory when we know how to read some words. If you're here today and you aren't even a Christian, I want you to get it. Can you just go open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, pick one, and read it, and see the captivating nature of this man? Like, Jesus is that good. Like, I don't believe it. Fine, just read it and watch God change your life. But I'm saying, fine. You know, it's, I don't care. Just open it up. And God will speak to you in this moment. Why? Because he is literally that good. He is. And so David's like, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this giant out. Goes to Saul and says, Saul, man, I got this. And Saul's like, bro, you're a teenager. Sit down. Right? And then David's like, Saul, but you don't get it. God rescued me then, and he rescued me then, and he's going to rescue me now. So just give me a shot, Saul. And obviously Saul's desperate because no one else is stepping up. So he's like, you know what? Go ahead, right? Just do it. Just take the fate of a nation. in your hands. And then he gives them this armor. It says he puts on the helmet and the chainmail, gives them a sword. And it says that David put it on, but he had not tested them, or he was not used to it, which, by the way, is crazy, because conventional wisdom in this moment would he get a sword on, put on some armor, and go fight mano a mano with Goliath. Because that's what Goliath wants. He wants to go into a brawl. But David's like, nah, I can't do that. I'm going to take all, this is not what I'm used to. So I'm going to take it all off, go get some stones, and start walking to a giant. Listen to me. There are two reasons why David had favor in this fight. The first one is that he had already submitted the outcome of this fight to the glory of God, no matter what happened, which means this, right? He was willing to walk. God was going to take, it's God's name on the line, not mine. So I'm going to submit the outcomes, and I'm just going to control my obedience. See, here's the problem. We get a flip. Some of you today, you do not follow Jesus the way he's called you, because all you've been doing is trying to control the outcome of my life. I want comfort. I want leisure. I want easy. Listen to me. Come hell or high water, whatever. Jesus, you're the reason why I live. So I'm just going to give glory to you and walk as you call me. To live is what? Christ. To die is what? Gain. Persecution, pain, death, whatever. You give me breath, I'm going to live in obedience. You don't control the outcome of your life. He does. You know what you do control? Your obedience. Thank you. Oh, I like that. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Now, number two is this, that he had favor in this fight because he was a shepherd. Right? Blew your mind right there. Right? Why? Because get this. Again, I mentioned it. Goliath, he was a close combat fighter. And if you're a shepherd with a sling, what did that make you? Long distance range. Which means if David would have put on the armor, walked to Goliath, he would have been done for. But because God is so wise and knows so much greater than us, David didn't need Saul's armor because he had already been prepped with all he needed for this battle. If he walked in the providence of God and the grace of God, God was already preparing David in a field where no giants lived, for the battlefield where there was one before him, that as he was throwing stones at trees, he was learning and being equipped to walk into the battle that would define his life forever. This is what you got to get. You don't need Saul's armor. You got the grace of God already. So do what you've been called to. Put on what you have in your hand, all you need for this battle. So stop trying to be somebody else. The reason why you can't get victory in some things right now is because you're fighting like Jerry. You don't need to fight like him. Fight with the weapons you got. Your calling is independent of you trying to be like someone else. And I want you to get this, Christians. If you don't be who God's called you to be and walk with the weapons you've been given to walk, you know who misses out? We do. Because of your insecurity, the church misses out. The kingdom of God is not as full as it should be if you're trying to be somebody else's story. So take off the armor, pick up your slingshot, and run to the giant. Come on, right? You got to stop putting on, you know, the face of this other, like, Pastor Sam is awesome, right? Yes, that's what we say, awesome, right? Right? Awesome. Close? Right? But if I tried to be him, I would suck at him. If you tried to be me, it wouldn't work, right? But yet we look at guys like that, we're like, I wish I could just have the faith of Sam. You don't need the faith of Sam. You need the faith that God's given you in this moment, the measure that he has given according to the Spirit to walk in whatever's before you. Hear me today. Stop putting on Saul's armor and start picking up a slingshot and go into the battle that's before you, right? And here's the thing. David, he starts walking out, and you know where God meets him? In the fight. Not when the army was back and telling him all about it. He's like, who's Goliath? Who's a giant for God? I got this. That's not when God was showing up. It wasn't when it was Saul when David was saying, hey, Saul, I got this. God's good. That's not when it was. It was when he was actually willing to step into the battlefield and start walking to the thing that scared him probably. Yeah. See, it's easy to have faith when it's safe. Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to do that. Oh, here's an opportunity. Ah, no, man. No. I don't know. That's good. Yeah. Oh, your connect group leader said you probably should correct this thing in life. Ah, no, it's a good word. Good word. I'm going to write it down and forget it tomorrow. Right? We laugh because we're convicted. Right? Right? But God meets him as he begins to walk towards. So some of you need today, right? Stop telling people how much faith you have for your marriage. And stop fighting for it. That was for somebody. Because I wasn't prepping that one. Now, here's the thing, though. And Ben, you actually can come up. I'm going to be sort of ending in this moment. You know, as Christians, we have all the more reason to actually walk in faith than David ever had. Because we have something David never had. His name is Jesus. Come on, see, this is why I love this story. It's why I love preaching David and Goliath. Because I want you to know something. Here's the bait and switch. It ain't about you at all. Like, I hope today you learn some things from the life of David that you can replicate. That's fine. But this isn't about you. Right? The whole book is about Jesus, by the way. He is the revelation. He is the hope. He is the promise fulfilled. He is the point of this whole thing. And in this story, what do we have? We have this insurmountable enemy standing before the people of God who feign pride and strength, mocking, accusing, and challenging them. Too afraid, though, to step into the fight until some little punk, unexpected savior from Bethlehem, of all places, shows up to win a victory and impute to the many the victory of the one. I'm pretty sure that sounds like another story we talk about called the gospel. Come on, somebody. Like, here's the thing. Christians, we open this book and read it so arrogantly thinking that I'm the hero of every story. I'm David and I'm Elijah. No, you're not. Jesus is. That's the point. He's the hero that we need. You are the reason you need a hero. Come on. You're mad. Can we just be real? You're jacked up more than you realize. Can we have an honest moment in church? Like, if I'm the hero of my own story, and I'm flaky, and I'm sinful, and I'm unsteadfast at times, and I flip-flop, and I'm not always at peace. Like, I know the guy whose name is Prince of Peace, and I'm trying to be the peace of my life. Like, we have a better hero, and his name is Jesus. Listen to me, your marriage doesn't need you to be the hero of it. It needs you to actually give grace and glory to the actual hero who can save the issue in your heart, right? Husbands, your wife doesn't need you to be her hero, but to look like the one who is. You want to be a good husband? Look like Jesus. Your kids don't need you to be the hero of your life. They need you to be transformed to the image of the one who actually is enough. This is the hope of the Christian story, that we have a better hero who is just and patient, good and merciful, gracious and present, peace and joy, death defeating, forgiving and freeing. This is our hope, that we got someone who's better than my weakness. And some of us here today wear a mask of pride that God wants to take off. Because hear me, you will never have enough strength if you refuse to surrender. You know who you are in the story? You want to find yourself? You're the guy with the armor on, beating your chest, but not moving anywhere. Listen to the voice of the enemy and just frozen. You want to find yourself? You want to relate to somebody? Relate to that guy. Because here's the thing: is we are in a battle. Right? There is a real enemy, and luckily we have an actual Savior who came in the form of a baby, Jesus in a manger, dying the death we should have died, winning the war we could not win, giving us victory when we were too weak, when we were powerless, he showed up. When we were unloving, he loved us. When we were imperfect, he gave us righteous. This is the gospel, that he fought the fight I could never win for me. This is the good news today, people. You don't gotta be David, so stop. Our religious hearts tell us we gotta be enough, we gotta be strong, we gotta prove it. God, look at all the money that I've given. Look at all the serving that I've done. Look how many people I've invited to church. God, look how good I am. He's like, God, put down the work and start just resting in my love. The grace of God is that you don't have to be enough any longer, because I know the one who is. I don't have to be strong because I know the one who is. I don't have to be brave because I know the one who is. I don't have to be wise because I know where wisdom comes from. I don't always have to have joy because I know the joy giver. I don't always have to have peace because I know where peace is beyond even understanding. I don't even have to have faithfulness all the time, because the Bible says when I am faithless, guess who's faithful? Jesus. This is how it goes every single moment. So there's some Christians, hear me today, that you've been walking with Jesus for so long, you have forgotten the simplicity of our message, and you are trying to make God love you more. You can't. Here's the grace for you. Stop it. Put down the sword today, friend. Guess what? Either the cross was sufficient or it was nothing. So are you in or are you out? There is no such thing as a good or bad Christian. It's Christian or not. That's the grace of God. So if someone says, hey, how's your walk with Jesus going? Awesome. He saved me. That's enough. Listen to me. This is the hope. But then there are people here today. And you're fighting battles he already won. Because if you're unwilling to put down the sword and let someone else champion you, you'll fight a zombie for the rest of your life. Why? Because some of you face a giant called shame. And you know it's an accusation that stands before you. I know what's been done to you, girl. You think someone could love you? I know what you've done. I know where you've been. God can't love this thing. I know how bad you messed up your four marriages. You think you have more chances than that? But you know what? That giant was slain 2,000 years ago when Jesus nailed it to a tree and put it in a grave. And so instead of maybe listening to some dead giant, start honoring the voice of the risen Savior today, who's called you his own, who's given you all you got, who's for you, he's called you son and daughter. That giant is dead. So why are you listening? Well, whether it be shame, guilt, fear, they died. And they didn't come up out of a grave. See, some of you here today, your porn problem, you actually need a hero in that one who can bring freedom from the chains that bind. And luckily, I know the guy who's strong enough. I've seen on the altar people get rid of addictions way greater than pornography. But guess what? Today, you can be your day. You know that anger problem that you got? You know who can deal with it? Prince of Peace. You know that marriage issue you got? The God of grace can come in and begin to stir some grace towards your spouse right now. You know that identity issue we talked about? That giant died a long time ago. So stop resurrecting it. There are some things that we need to deal with. Come on, right? We got to stop fighting battles that Jesus already won. Because why would we continue to put effort out when the effort has been done? Here today, I want you to get this. If you aren't a Christian in the room today, I want you to know something. This story is for you as well. Because here's the thing. Right? You are in a battle. Right? And the end of this battle with sin is always death. That's where it leads us. Destruction, chaos in this life, and chaos in the next one. But there was a hero who came to save you, to restore you, to free you, and forgive you. And his name is Jesus. And so he wants to bring some healing to you even right now. If you're done trying to be enough, and strong and put together and Instagram worthy and look at my life and you can take the mask off, there actually is some healing. Because here's the thing, what you hide today won't get healed. So let's just be honest and just say, hey God, you know, if there's any place where I can be free, it should be the church built on grace, where we are just in progress people making much of a grace I couldn't earn, making much of a love I couldn't deserve, and making much of the name above all names who takes anybody. So if you're here today, here's the gospel in two sentences, all right? The good news of Jesus. Number one is this. You are far more broken than you ever dare admit. And you know it. You are so broken. Can we just have a human moment? We're all human. We all kind of suck at times. But it goes so deep into your soul that literally the only way that God of the universe, omniscient and all powerful, could figure out a way to save you was to die in your place. That is how deep it goes. Let's not call our brokenness cute little things and give it pet names, pretend like it's okay. But number two is even more powerful. That you are so much more loved than you ever dreamed possible, because God would willingly come and die for you. Love. When I was doing youth pastoring, one girl said, Mike, this love doesn't make sense. And I was like, I think you're finally getting it. Because that is what this love is for us today. And if you are willing to take off the mask of your perfection, the armor that protects you. Just be honest and real and weak. There is a place of strength today. And here's what you will find, that your strength will be discovered on the other side of your surrender. Stop holding the sword. There's only one. Let Jesus hold it for a while. Friends, I am no hero, but I know the one who is.